If you have a Bible, do you want to turn maybe to Philippians 4? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would anoint the words of my lips, that I would encourage, inspire, challenge, and help, Lord. Father, that you'd speak to your church, and that it would be practical, helpful, useful, and encouraging in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to begin a series. I've been affected, like all of you, by what has been in the news and what has been on newspapers, television, and so forth. It is the changes that are happening in the economy. And we hear the phrase a lot, the cost of living crisis. Who's heard that phrase, the cost of living crisis? And I've been thinking about this as believers. How do I respond to the cost of living crisis? And I thought, well, we don't have a crisis in heaven, so it's a source of living crisis. If we go to the right source, we're going to be okay. So the crisis is in the source. And so we don't want to underestimate what is going on. What is going on is quite challenging. Inflation is 10%. Food prices are going to rise by £450 a year. Petrol has gone up and come down. But you know when you're putting petrol in your car and you're going, oh, thank goodness, it's only 168 a litre. There's something wrong, you know, because it's gone up from 130, 135, 140, and I'm rejoicing at 168. The energy price cap has changed and going up. And I read one report that said it's going to be thousands to heat our homes. And in fact, they're estimating 20% of the average wage is going to be taken just to heat your home. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that is the worst estimations of what could happen. Mortgage rates are up. For those of you who have mortgage interest rates, isn't it, pushes mortgage rates up. So there's a whole load of things. And also, they're saying that wages are falling behind costs. So those of us that are working are now working for less than we were working for last year in real terms. So all those things have added up to this cost of living crisis. And I can't really answer you or give you the answers to what are the economic solutions that, and choices our government needs to make, what are the causes and so forth. But I do know people are afraid and are concerned and are counting their pennies. And so I wanted to talk about this within the context of money and giving and source. And so over the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm just going to bring some teaching to help you navigate your way forward. Because the great thing is God is my source. And there's no cost of living crisis in heaven. And that he has everything I need. The source of living. So he's my source, and if I look to him and trust him, he'll bring me through this. So I'm coming through. So when God brings you to a place, he brings you through that place. Or if he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. So the whole church, maybe the whole world, has been brought to this place of cost of living crisis. But if he's brought me here, he's going to bring me through. So I wanted to say something to that briefly, because when you think about the people of Israel, when they left Egypt, they hit something called the Red Sea, and God opened the sea and got them through. He brought them there, and he brought them through. Then they were in the wilderness, and there was no water. And God, through his servant Moses, hit a rock, and water came forth, and they had enough water. And then a few days later, they didn't have any food. And so Moses prayed, and God provided manna from heaven. And they had enough food for 40 years, because every day there'd be this manna. But you know, when you eat manna, when you eat the same stuff all the time, it gets a bit manna-ish. So they complained. And God gave them quail. He gave them meat. And from nowhere, the ground got full of, I guess they were dead quails. Or maybe they hunted them down. I don't know. I can't remember now. But he brought meat. And you know, in Egypt and in Palestine or in the Promised Land, they had, you know, they had some real challenges because they had to buy clothes and shoes. But if you were part of the people of Israel, their shoes and their clothes lasted for a generation. It's like, I don't know if you'd like that, ladies. That's your dress and that's it for 40 years. Can I have two? Okay, you can have two, but that's it for 40 years. See, God brought them to the wilderness, but he brought them through the wilderness. And whilst they were in it, he provided. We're in it now, and whilst we're in it, he's going to provide. And he's going to bring us out of it. When Jacob and the children of Israel, when there was a famine and they had nothing to eat, God had gone before them by sending Joseph to Egypt. And Joseph became the second most important man in the whole of Egypt. And he had access to the biggest granary in the whole known world. Because God brought them to it, he'd bring them through it. And I know different ones of us are challenged in different ways. For some of us, it's, well, we've got to cut down on some of the nice things in life, like holidays or like going out. And for others, it's they were just making it when we got here. And now you need God. Because if you stay in the natural plane, there's not enough. But in heaven, there's always enough. God is the source. And that's what I want you to hear today. God is the source. In 1963, Marcel Pagnol wrote a book called Les Deux des Collines. Now, I don't know if I've said that right. It's French. Let's translate it. The Water of the Hills. And the Water of the Hills had two stories. One was called Jean de Florey, and the other was Manon de Source. And in Jean de Florey, there was a film made of Jean de Florey. It was a story about a civil servant. He was a clerk in the government, and he inherited a farm. And he was a hunchback. And he came to this farm, and he had this dream that he would breed rabbits and become very rich. This was his dream. He would support his family and so forth. And the problem was there was a drought. There was a drought in the land. And there was a neighboring farm, the Cerebeos, I think they were called. And what Jean de Florey didn't know was he had a natural spring on his land. So he had all the water he needed in the midst of the drought. But the Cerebeos, they blocked it up. They blocked up the source of the spring. So the water never came down to the farm. And so he worked himself to death. And his whole endeavor failed. And his widow sold the farm to the Cerebeos at a cut price. Why? Because the source was blocked. Now, we're in a similar sort of drought or famine in this land. And there's a source, and the source for us, his children, is God. The source of life, the source of sustenance, the source of joy, the source of hope, the source of provision. It's God. He's our source. And just like the Cerebeos try to block us off from the source, we have an enemy known as the devil, and he, through lying, cheating, and stealing from us, he will stop us going to the source. But God is saying, in the midst of the drought, come to your Father. I am your source of provision. God is the source. And if he gets, he'll get your eyes on things. BBC News. Sky News, ITV News, so forth. He'll get our eyes off him. The devil wants to worry you. The devil wants you to be concerned. And I've come today to say, God is your source. He's my source. See, if the government is my source, I'm limited to what they do for me. Well, they've done £150 council tax rebate, £400 on the rent, not the rent, the heating. There's others if you're more. And I'm not knocking them for what they're doing. It'd be nice if they did some more for the hardest hit people. But if I limit myself to them as my source, I limit God. Or I can look at my paycheck, and if my paycheck is my source, I limit God. Or I can look to my family. Some of us have got rich family. If I look to them as my source, I limit God. God doesn't want you to look to anybody else. He wants you to look to him. He is our source. He has promised to be our source. And that's what I want to tell you today. In the midst of this cost of living crisis, there is a source of living, and it is God Almighty. Here the scripture says this. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, they're his. You think of every, you know, he has everything I need to go through and come out. He is my source of provision. And when I think about the source, then this word source, it's the point of origin. It's the one that initiates, the one that supplies. It's the stream of living water. Together as God's people, I'm encouraging us to go to the source through the economic storm that we're in. And it is going to get worse in the world. But I have a heavenly Father that knows what I need before I even ask him. You have a heavenly Father that knows what you need before you ask him. And he is looking for you to look to him as source. Not our employer, not our church, not our family, not the government, not the lottery, but God. He can make a difference. And when you look to the source, God, who is our source, there is an unlimited supply. Everybody say unlimited. Unlimited. If he doesn't have it, he speaks it and it becomes. And what we have found in our walk with God is, as we have trusted him as our source, we've seen him provide for our needs in ways that I could never just through the sweat of my brow provide. I look to him as my source. I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about when we went, Naomi went to Indonesia. Do you remember she went on mission to Indonesia about 6 years ago, 8 years ago? And Jane had said that we were going on mission to Indonesia. No, we were going to visit her. And we didn't have any money to visit her. But we started to pray. And in January, it was like a money tap opened. And people from all over the place would give us money. We never said anything to anybody. They would give us money. And by the end of it, we had the money to take the family to Bali to meet Naomi. Because God was my source. I was looking to him. And just as we got off the plane back in the UK, and it was like he turned the money tap off. And it was given to us for a purpose and a reason. I remember when we went to move house, we needed a lot of extra money to move house, and God made a way, and we were able to move house. When my daughter came to me and she said she was going to get married, and we think Dan is fantastic, you know, if you could find one of them for your daughters, I'd say, buy him. But she came to us and she said, I'm going to get married, and we're going to get married in May. And we had no money for a wedding for our daughter. None. But by the time May came, the wedding was paid with cash and no debt, because God is my source. And I can tell you story after story after story of God taking it further. One of my favorite quotes in the church is Wendy Perkins. She says 90% goes further than 100. You know, and she can't afford not to tithe because she knows the 90% goes further. But when God is our source, He takes it further. When God is our source, we're not limited to natural means. When God is our source, people see His blessing. So, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I want to look at a scripture that you would be familiar with. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The Amplified puts it like this. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So here's Paul saying, my God supplies your needs according to His riches in glory. Now this is true in the boom and in the bust. This is true when times are good and times are bad. This is true when there's famine and when there's great harvest. Because it's the scriptures. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's a promise in the scriptures. It's a promise from the Apostle Paul. It's a promise that we can hang our hat on. We can hang our coat on. We can hang our life on. But let me tell you what it isn't. It isn't a rabbit foot. You know, a lucky charm. It says, my God. My God. Here's my question. Is He your God? Is He your God? So, how do I know if He's my God? Here's some follow-up questions. Are you living for Him? Are you seeking to follow Him? Are you looking to be changed into the image of His Son? Do you worship Him with your whole life? Is He your highest priority? Are you listening to His words and obeying them? And that would tell me if He's my God or not. My God. This verse is directed to those of us who allow Him to be their God. His provision for His people is promised, but it's not automatic. So I've got three P's to help you and help me remember. Number one, He must become our priority. Everybody say priority. Priority. Number two, He must become our position. Everybody say position. Number three, I've struggled with three and you'll understand. We call it, He must become our pastor. Everybody say pastor. Priority, position, pastor. So my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And I'm challenging you now. Say, that isn't a lucky charm. That isn't a lucky bit of scripture. It's actually the truth, but it's related to my relationship with God. My God shall supply all of my needs. So number one, I said He's got to be your priority. So if we look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6 verse 33, and we'll be coming to this in the weeks ahead. He says this, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, in the chapter of Matthew chapter 6, it is food, clothing, provision, and somewhere to live, I believe, shelter. The basic things of life. Jesus says, don't worry about the basic things of life, but seek first my kingdom and righteousness. So the kingdom is the rule of God. Seek His rule in your life, and my righteousness is His ways and His ways in your life. Then it says, all these things are just be added to you. It becomes effortless. All these things are be given to you. Clothing, food, shelter, the necessities to keep you safe and secure. All these things will be given to you. I think one of the challenges for us as Christians is we like to say, I'm seeking first the kingdom. I like to say that. I really do. Yes, yes, amen. I don't like to do it. That's my problem. Because I like to do what I want to do. But if we want to lock into God's provision, priority is important. Not perfection, because you won't get perfection. But if in your heart you're saying, I'm putting Christ first, his kingdom first, his ways first, it releases something to you. Okay, the second thing is this, position. Because his provision isn't everywhere. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Think about the prodigal son eating with the pigs. When he came to his senses, he said, in my father's house, there's more than enough for the servants. I will go back to father's house. So there's this positioning. We need to be in father's house. I think about Abraham. Now, if you can, turn with me to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verse 13. This is at the offering of Isaac. It says this. After God said, now I know you won't withhold your son, it says in verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of this place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. In my father's house it shall be provided. So if I want to live in the provision of God, in the source of God, if I turn to him, it's not everywhere. I've got to go to father's house. And I guess when I talk about father's house, it's this sense of, I've got to be a child with my father. Do you know, my children, when they were little, they never worried about a gas bill, a council tax bill, petrol for the car, money. They didn't worry about anything. Why? Because there was a source of provision. Mum and dad. That's where God wants me to be. That's my position. His father. Father's house. The third thing I said was pastor, because I really struggled for a P. So you think, you know when you hear these sermons, you go, that's not a P. Well, it's one of those moments now, because it says in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And I couldn't get a P out of that, so I opted for pastor. Because it's kind of the same thing, shepherd of the flock, pastor of the flock. So kind of a win. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there's something about allowing him to be my shepherd. Now here, when I was a kid, you know what, one of the best things on TV, absolutely amazing, BBC Two, 6 o'clock, Tuesday night, One Man and His Dog. It was the height of television in the 80s. We didn't have all this. One man, and we would sit there watching father die, a farmer die with his dog herding sheep. Anybody watch that? You know, if you've got grey hair, you probably have watched it because there's nothing else on TV. One Man and His Dog. And it builds this picture of a shepherd herding sheep with a dog. Ah, in the Middle East, they don't do it that way. They call their sheep with a voice. So 3 or 4 different flocks can come to a watering hole. And then the shepherd can say, time to go. And the sheep who were part of his flock, that's why Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, will hear the voice and they will follow. And as the shepherd goes forward, the sheep follow. So God will not herd you, but he will ask you to follow him. Because sometimes in the following, that is where the source provides. In 1990, I was a young student in London, and God spoke to me. Leave university, move to Bridgend, I've called you to preach. 1990. Now, if you're old enough to remember, that was during the recession we had with John Major, with the Conservatives. So I came back to Bridgend. Nobody in their right mind wanted to employ me in church to preach, because I didn't know anything. And there were no jobs about. Jane moved across. Can you imagine the sacrifice she made? Bath, England, Bridgend, South Wales, I mean. So she moved across. She was a nurse, so she sort of got work quite easily. But I was no training, no nothing. You know, if I applied for anything, I had all these A levels and O levels and different things. I was overqualified for underqualified jobs, and I was underqualified for overqualified jobs. But I was in the right place. And so we were out shopping and believing God for a job. And there's a job center in Cardiff. And Jane goes, why don't you go to the job center? Yeah, okay. And there's this little card. It says part-time work and £103 a week or something like that. 6 weeks work. Picked it up, put my name in, got a telephone conversation. And it was Cardiff City Council. The premier council in the whole of the country. And they took me in. It was like I was this lost sheep, and they took me in for 6 weeks. 10 years later, I'm still there. And you know, I've reflected on this recently. I was in housing benefits for 10 years, which not only did it teach me how to talk to people and help people, but it became, if you like, a key for me to be involved in housing down the road, which I still am. 10 years, because why? I was in the right place at the right time. That's where the source is. And we did well. My God shall supply every need. Every need. Every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, he is the source. He is the supply. Now, you have to understand, you have to separate means of supply from the supplier. So, the supplier is God. He is the source. But he uses people. He uses organizations. He uses different things to provide. It's very rare that money grows on trees. But he moves on people's hearts. It says this, doesn't it? Give, and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Then it says, will men put into your, the King James word is bosom, but it's just into, yeah, you know what I mean. Men. God uses people. When the children of Israel left Egypt with nothing after 400 years of slavery, the Egyptians gave them the wealth of Egypt, gold and silver and jewels, to take away with them. It didn't grow on trees, it was given to them. But there is a supply, or supplier, who is God, and a means of supply, who usually is man. So I read a letter earlier on, didn't I? Thank you for the hamper. It was a godsend. God blessed that family with a hamper. And this church was the means of supply to get that hamper into him. Supply. Every need promised. Need means necessities and requirements. But I get this feeling it includes more. When God's your source, he takes you further. Should I tell you how he took me further? And you're meant to say, yes, please. But if you don't, I know you. So, but he's done more than I could even imagine. I've got two, and most of you have heard this because I'm so chuffed with my God. But I got like two hobbies outside this and family. And one of them's going to see rugby. And the other's going to see, play historical simulation games or war games, they're called. Rugby and war games. She didn't know. Rugby and war games. And then we married and she found out. If you're getting married, you don't know everything. You just got to love them through. So when we had little children, we had almost no extra disposable income. And do you think in our conversations, my wife would be really pleased that I would spend all our disposable income watching rugby and playing games? You know, when the kids don't have shoes or the kids don't have this and the kids don't have that. Of course, she wouldn't be happy with it, but nor would I. But God likes me and he loves me. And there is a source of provision when you're in the right place. So, in 1999, Wales hosted the Rugby World Cup. And my dad wanted to go to the final. So he's decided the only way he could secure a ticket was to buy a debenture. So he bought a debenture for £4,000, went to see one game of rugby, and then he gave me the debenture. Now, what the debenture does is it's a nice thing to have, but you don't get any tickets from it. It gives you the right to buy tickets. We're still in the same position. I've got the right to buy and no money. But my dad decides that this family debenture needs to be used. And for the next 18 years, he is buying me 5 rugby tickets a year, a season, so that the family debenture can be used. See, God's my source. He can take me further. I was in a secondhand bookshop, just looking at the books, and I came across a game, and it was £5. £5. And I thought, even our situation could stretch to £5. So I bought it. I think I talked to Jane about it first, of course. Because £5 was a lot of money for us then. And this was at the beginning of the internet. So I looked up the company. I'd never heard of them before. And on the company website, it said, our vice president, Roger, is suffering from cancer. Send him our regards and prayers. So I'm reading this on the website, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, write to Roger. So I did. Dear Roger, there was a... And then he wrote back. Thank you for your inquiry. And we started to converse. And after about 6 months or 3 months of conversing on email, I started to get boxes in the post of games. I had thousands of pounds of games sent to my door free. Because my source is God. From Roger. Roger in America, in California. Sending me, Alex, in Bridgend, Wales. Boxes and boxes. Jane hated it. Boxes and boxes of games. We had so many games that I took a big load of them that I knew I would never play. And I sold them on eBay. And it took my family to Greece on holiday. Because God knows she wants to go on holiday. When God's your source, there are no limits. Now I can tell story after story of how God has done some things beyond the limits. My point is this, is in the middle of a crisis, a cost of living crisis, we've got to get our eyes on the source of living, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and not limit ourselves to natural things. We can move outside a natural kingdom into a heavenly kingdom. And it says there is no lack in heaven. My God shall supply every need of you according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So the provision is in glory in Christ Jesus. Is there any lack in glory? Of course not. Is there any lack in Christ Jesus? Of course not. Everything that we ever need, that we ever have a need from or a want from, is there in Christ Jesus. And we need to get our priority right, kingdom first, our position right, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and our shepherd, listening to him. He wants to supply every need of mine. So it's not according to how much money there is, because, you know, when he gave food to the people of Israel, there was, you know, they were stacked up with gold, actually. But gold's no good if you haven't got bread. But he provided the manna, provided the quails, provided everything they needed, provided the water. In Christ Jesus, when we are resting in Christ Jesus, we connect ourselves to the source of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. We connect ourselves to him. And I think if you are struggling with the cost of living crisis, you need to just take some time to sit in a chair and just rest in Jesus. God is our source. Turn to him and trust him. That's my advice to you. I want you to just think about him being your source. He is the source of life. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. John 10, verse 10 says, I have come that you might have life and life in all its abundance. For us to have abundant life, Jesus is our source of abundant life. He is the source of light. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. He's a sort of source of truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to me, the Father, except through me. Running through those three scriptures, it's life, life, life. He is the source of life. If you want to have the life God wants you to have, he's the source. He's the source of our provision. I'll say it again because I think we need to hear it. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's the source of promotion. Some of you may be looking for a promotion in work, to be promoted. It says in Psalm 75, not from the east or the west, not from the wilderness comes lifting up. But it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. Promotion. He'll raise us up. He'll raise this church up. He'll raise your situation up. He's the source. He's the source of protection. He's our source of joy. He's our source of hope. He's the source of satisfaction. You must know the song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Do you know that song? Everybody know that song, The Rolling Stones? Some of you actually heard The Rolling Stones sing it. I've only watched it on TV, but this is what the Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good things. Mr. Jagger and friends didn't read Psalm 107, verse 9, did they? He's the source of all spiritual blessing. We heard Marilyn, she shared Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read you verse 3. or praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So all spiritual blessings for forgiveness and peace and justification and joy, reconciliation and hope and spiritual power and the anointing and so forth, all of it. He's the source. He's the source of the blood of Jesus that washes away my sin and causes me to be reconciled with Him, the Father of light. God is our source. And what He's looking for us to do is to take some of the rocks out of the source, if you like, the lies that the devil has talked to. If you've said to yourself, how am I going to manage? Very real thought in today's climate. Tell yourself, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, or in glory in Christ Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to manage. I don't know how I'm going to come through. I don't know how. I trust. If you second guess God, He'll do things so amazing, so outside your expectation. You'll never guess. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about Peter. I'm praying for God to get some wisdom and godly leadership in this church to come alongside me. And Peter, I could never have imagined Peter. And Peter could never have imagined me. But Andrew Yeoman said, you need to meet Peter. Ask him to come and help. And I'm reading the scriptures, and the Bible says this. They were willing to receive him into the boat. And the Holy Spirit said to me, be willing to receive Peter into the boat. And I met with him and I said, Andrew said this, but I don't know you, so I can't receive you. Knowing what God had said, and within 3 or 4 weeks, he was coming into the boat. I could never have imagined it. Could you have imagined it? All his colleagues and peers are worried for Peter because he's fallen to the bottom of the pile. That this is a Word of Faith church and he's come. But we know God's in it. God is our source. How do you survive in an economic climate? You turn to God to be your source. How do you survive in a spiritual famine? You turn to God, who is the source. God is your source. I want you to lift your eyes above the papers. Lift your eyes above the internet and the just God is our source. You know, if the Bank of England puts interest rates up by 2% next Thursday, God's my source. And if I have to pay an extra £100 on my mortgage that I don't have today, God's my source. He saw it. He knew it was coming, and he's made a provision for it. What have I got to do? I've got to put my priorities in order, kingdom first. I've got to get positioned in the right place. Where's God calling me to be? And then I've got to follow the pastor of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him by the leading of the Holy Ghost. But in it all, God is my source, and I have a promise. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. In glory in Christ Jesus, sorry. That's our promise. I'm just telling you to look to the source. I'm telling you to position yourself to receive, because God will not let you down. David said, I'm old now and I've never seen the righteous begging bread. God will get bread to us. And we might have a bumpy ride ahead of us, but God is the source. God is going to provide. God is going to protect. God is going to help us. He's going to be present help in these times. No fear. And if you've been afraid, I want to remind you, God's your source. If you've been concerned, I want to remind you, God's your source. If the maths doesn't work out, I want to remind you, God's your source. And he knew, before he brought you here, he knew where you were going, and he's got a plan to get you out. And that plan, it might not be easy. It might mean some changes. It might mean some repentance. It might mean sacrifice. But what I do know is this, is God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus in glory. And I hang my future on this promise that if I position myself, if I make him my priority, and if I follow him, everything's going to be okay. We have a way of knowing everything's going to be okay. Do I know what's going to happen in the economy? No, because this promise is outside the economy. Do I know what's going to happen with gas prices? No, because this promise is outside gas prices. I don't need to know. What I need to know is this, is God has promised to supply every need of mine according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And when I hang my life on that promise, I will see him supernaturally make a difference, take me through, and get me to the other side. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Shall we stand together? If you have been struggling with the weight of what's going on and the reality of, if you like, your bank balance, I want you to give it back to God. Give the worry, the concern back to him. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Let's not live afraid. Your God wants to supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we humbly come to you. And we want to thank you that you're our source, that you're our source of provision, that you're our source of sustenance, that you are our source of life. And Father, I just pray that my words would reverberate in the hearts of people today. The words of Paul, that you supply every need. And Father, I pray a grace would come on us to help us just trust you through this situation. In Jesus' name. Amen.